Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning together Mizmor Kuf Yud Gimel, the 113th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim, and we are now shifting into a new place in Tehillim, and it's going to sound very familiar to us. We'll soon see why. This Mizmor is a short one. In structure, it is made up of 9 psukim and divided into 3, basically some equal sections. The first section is Aleph to Gimel, 1 to 3, where Hashem is praised from all places and at all times. The next section is Dalet to Vav, the middle 3 psukim, where Hashem is in the heavens and sees and has providence and controls the entire world. And finally, the last section is Zion to Tes, where He raises up the oppressed, as is described in the Mizmor. In terms of the theme of this Mizmor is all about praise. It's all about praising Hashem. There's no requests, there's no supplications of any kind. And what is interesting is there is a movement in these 3 sections we just looked at. There is a movement from the general to the specific. Praising Hashem is everywhere and every when. And then Hashem is in the heaven with providence of every being, where we talk about Hashem is in the heavens, but He lowers Himself down, so to speak, to involve Himself in human life. And at the end, we talk about very specific examples of the oppressed that He takes care of. So there are 2 examples. One is Mikimi Me'afar Dal Me'ashpois Yorim Evyon. The pauper, the person who is impoverished, is raised up from the dust. And the second example is Moshivya Keres Habayis Eim Habonim Semecha, is the barren woman, the woman who has no children, is now gifted with a full house. So this is the movement over here from the general, Hashem's everywhere and every when, and now moving down to Hashkacha, and very specific Hashkacha of those who are oppressed. In terms of the voice in this Mizmor, the voice does not turn directly to Hashem, but is talking about Hashem, what is called Belashon Nistar, so to speak, hidden. It is referring to Him, not speaking to Him. In terms of responsiveness, it is interesting to note that this Mizmor starts with the word Halleluka, praiseworthy be Hashem, which gives us the reasonable assumption that it is said by a leader to a community. In a certain sense, he is saying Halleluka, praiseworthy be Hashem, and he is trying to take the initiative that they respond to him. So, for example, the first pasuk, which is Halleluka, Hallelu Adei Hashem, Hallelu Eshem Hashem, praiseworthy is praise Hashem, servants of Hashem, praiseworthy is the name of Hashem, then it is reasonable to assume that perhaps the next line was the response to that, Yehi Shem Hashem Vorach Me'ata Ve'ad Olam, let the name of Hashem be blessed from now and until eternity. So there is a certain level of responsiveness in the Mizmor itself. This may, by the way, Rav Amos Chacham explains, this may explain why there's a lot of repetition of words. There were the word Halleluka, Hallelu, Mehulal, Halleluka at the end. Again, also words like Rom, Yarim, Shamayim, Bashamayim. Words like Losheves, Loshivi, Loshivi, Moshivi. These words are repeated. It might be part of that responsive nature. It is interesting that the Gemara itself deals with this and has a suggestion where on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that the responsiveness is that the people themselves would respond with the word Halleluka itself. So you can imagine at certain intervals, them interjecting Halleluka, praiseworthy be Hashem, when hearing the leader's description of the greatness of Hashem. In terms of the one deeper theme over here is the theme of Yichud Hashem, which literally means the unity of Hashem. Unity of Hashem is a very lofty goal. It is something we talk about when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Enokeinu Hashem Echad, when we unify Hashem's name. That doesn't mean to say Hashem is one and not two. It means one and nothing else. That's the sum total of all reality adds up to Him. And so it's interesting, the Chida does point out a few interesting gematrias which are of note in this Mizmor, and that is the word Hallel, of praising Hashem, is the gematria of Ad Hashem, Aladala Nun Yud, which is 65. He points out that the last letter of the first 4 words in this Mizmor are Shem Havaya, are the Yud Hey and then the Vav and Hey, representing the other name of Hashem. The word Halleluka itself is the gematria of Elohim, and the word Avdei is the gematria Elohim. So what the Chida argues over here is that this Mizmor is simply about uncovering Hashem in every aspect of our lives. All the different names, all the different modalities of Hashem's expression in this world are our job to uncover, to enunciate, to articulate, and to celebrate. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, we talk about people who are oppressed here. Who are the oppressed? It's not clear. There's no specifics given except that we have a pauper and we have a person who does not have children. But other than that, it could be referring to individuals in history and their suffering, or it could be referring to Israel as a nation state, who are often likened to these situations in other places in Tanakh. As examples, Chana, in her song to Hashem after she has her child Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, in the first 10 psukim where we have her song, in that tefillah we see a lot of ideas which are similar to here about the wheel of fortune which Hashem turns at times, where it reverses good fortune to negative fortune and negative fortune to good fortune, which seems to be related to the end of this mizmor. And there are numerous other linguistic and thematic parallels to other places. What is interesting is the Radak points out over here that this is actually the preamble to the next mizmor. The next mizmor is about to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. And so in order to be able to lay the stage for that, we now need to talk about Hashem's Hashkocha, Hashem's providence in this world. And that's what's being described over here. The Al-Sheikh, going in the similar lines to the Radak, points out that natural scientists explain away God a lot of times. They believe that their explanations of the rules and the neat way that things work out and the physics and the equations and the axioms can explain away God. And says the Al-Sheikh, that's why we need to go back to those people who experienced Egypt, who experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim, where they saw the rules bended, the rules twisted by the Almighty, as a demonstration that yes, it's nice to explain away everything into rules, but sometimes the owner of the rules, the ones who created those laws, ultimately can waive them from time to time, which is why Yetzias Mitzrayim is so axiomatic, is so part of our liturgy and our lives, because it refers back to that point where we understood this. Hashem doesn't deign to do a miracle just for whoever wants it, but we certainly mention those miracles as an education, as a self-education process. In terms of one other event that could be behind this mizmor, the Malbim does point out that this could be have been composed around the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who suffered terrible deathly sickness and was also surrounded militarily and recovered from both incredibly and miraculously, and so it could be referring to this mizmor is his song of praise about that. In terms of the places in our davening this appears, by now we should be clearly cognizant of the fact that this is the beginning paragraph of Hallel, what the Gemara calls Hallel HaMitzri, and this refers to the section in our Tehillim of Kuf Yud Gimel to Kuf Yud Ches 113 to 118. This whole section is used as the format of our regular Hallel, which is said on the 18 or 21 days in the year of celebrations, also said on the nights of Pesach, the Leil HaSeder. It's broken up into three general sections. The paragraphs 113 to 115, Kuf Yud Gimel to Kuf Tes Vav, are about praising Hashem in the mouths of the servants of Hashem. Part two, generally speaking, Kuf Tes Zayin, is about the song of Todah, of thanksgiving. And the last section, part three, is Kuf Yud Zayin to Kuf Yud Ches, 117 to 118, is a song of those going to the house of Hashem. We'll get to those specifics as we arrive there naturally. One pasuk in the focus, and that's the last pasuk, which is Moshivi Akeres Habayis, Eim Habonim Semecha Haluluka. Hashem returns the one who was barren to the house, and her children, she's now the mother of children who is happy. Haluluka, let Hashem be praised. Gemara Baba Basra, Kuf Chof Amun Aleph, tells us the story of working out the age of Yocheved. She was at the time even older than Sarah, around the age of 130 at the time that she gave birth to her child Moshe, to Moses. And it describes how she and her husband had separated themselves from each other because of the Gezerah, the decrees of Pharaoh to kill all male children. And Miriam was able to reconvince her father and explain that his decision to stop having children was even worse than the decision of Pharaoh, who was going to obliterate all the children in the first place. She convinced them to reunite, and in fact there was a miracle which occurred. It talks about how she was able to have children at that age again. And that is part of what Eim Habanim Smecha is referring to. This is the song that Aaron and Miriam sang as their mother and father reunited. The Kedushas Levi, Rav Yehiel Levi Yitzchak Obeditchov, takes it in another way, and he says that we live in this world and sometimes we get caught up in the hurly-burly of life. We spend most of our life chasing our tails and achieving a lot of checklist checks, but we don't necessarily remember that the point is Leyached Es Hashem, as the Chidah pointed out, to see the oneness of Hashem in this world. And that's why we do a lot of actions which to us, or to even people around us, seem strange. We're getting up to daven in the mornings, we're keeping Shabbos, we're doing all these things which sometimes people mock and sometimes we ourselves internally mock. And what happens is that those actions look like they're bereft, they don't have any children, we don't see the outcome of them. when Mashiach comes, ultimately, those actions which look like they were bereft actions, they look like they had no children, they look like there was no continuity to them, we'll see just how valuable they were. We'll just see how noble it was that we had this divine mission to live in life, even if it didn't look like it was making sense while we were doing it itself. With this, we'll end. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.